I know that, as I said, some of us have really had a tough week, and you know that we can talk all, you know, lovey-dovey and mushy-gushy and all that kind of stuff, and it's nice to do that on Valentine's Day and when we're talking about love and stuff. So we're going to talk about some of that as part of the message today, but it's really going to be a two-part message today because we've had a tough week as well, and really it's when you're in the reality of life, isn't it? You want to know, how does God apply in my situation when I'm going through tough times? Isn't that the question we ask? And we want, how do we bring the glory of God into our hard times and into our situations? And so, yeah, we've had a tough week, and yet at the same time, it was one of the most glorious weeks that we've ever had. You know, they go hand in hand often. And it's finding God in the midst of the tough things and the hard places of life that it's like, if our Christianity isn't real at that time, it's not real, is it? That's when the rubber hits the road and say, does this really work in my life? And so this is one of those times, one of those weeks when it's just been incredible with the presence of God in our lives. This week, well, it's been a tough time as well. So Jeremy's just going to come up and share just a little bit briefly so you know what we've been going through. And so we'll talk about some of that, and then we'll talk about love and the intimacy of love with one another, but also intimacy in love with Jesus. And we want to grow more intimate with him. And it's a special Valentine's Day for him, isn't it? With us. Yeah.
Well, this year, I had the privilege of turning 60, and I became about 3 weeks ago, a grandfather for the first time. And I'm looking at my life thinking, I'm way too immature for this. I suppose I should be more mature, but I'm not. That's just how it is. But Connie mentioned it's been a rough week. Back in November, my mother was diagnosed with lung cancer. She had been a smoker, and as you may be aware, it's a 97% fact you will get lung cancer if you smoke. And so, as the years went by, and then we discovered in November that she had lung cancer, and she went for some treatments. But she's 84. And so she went for some radiation, but and it helped a little bit. But yesterday she passed away. It was the most wonderful, glorious thing I've ever seen. And that's that. I need you to understand. That's the good news. A couple of you know what we've been going through and have come up and said, "I'm so sorry." And I just got to say, don't be. This has been wonderful. Just to give you a bit of a background, my grandparents were the first Pentecostal pastors in Cape Town, South Africa, at a time of revival. But because of that, they spent all of their time doing kingdom stuff and really ignored the family. And my mom just said, if that's what Christianity is, I don't want it. And she walked away. She knows all the Bible verses. She knows tongues. She's seen healings. It's not an issue of her not believing that God is. She just said, I don't want it. I don't want any part of it. And really, for all of my life, she would never let us talk about God, ever. Well, it's interesting, you know, when there's nothing left, that you get a little more open. And so we began to talk to her, and I just began asking some questions, starting with, you've always believed in God, haven't you? She said, yeah. And I said, do you know what's going to happen after you die? And she was quiet. And I just said, you understand, I don't want to spend eternity without you. Let's talk. And she listened. And ultimately, one evening, God showed up. There was this great big white light that really surprised her. She was in a very, kind of a fearful state. You get to that place sometimes when you're dying and you're alone at night and all of that. But she said, there was something there I just can't deny. And so she was wide open. And as we talked to her, she surrendered her life to Jesus. And that changed everything. Because we also got then a little later to pray for her in terms of her forgiving her parents and going through all the process that is involved in. And it even got to the point where just last week she'd, you know, come in and out of where she was, and she'd wake up and she'd say, am I dead? And we'd say, oh, I'm sorry, Mom, not yet, you're still with us. But hang in there, it'll come soon enough. And she would smile and laugh. but she was just really ready to go. And I was sharing with someone that sometimes it's a little scary right at the very end, because sometimes there's a bit of a struggle, those last few breaths. But she just took a couple of big, deep breaths and was in the arms of Jesus. It was the most wonderful thing. I couldn't have asked for anything more. And I'm going to see my mom again. So really, this is a celebration for us. Having said that, it's been really tough. It's really tough watching your own mom go through it and get weaker and weaker and all that kind of stuff. But we really are rejoicing in God's faithfulness. I don't know how people do this who don't know Jesus. I wouldn't know how to conduct a funeral with people who didn't know Jesus. There's just no hope at all. But we have all the hope, all the realities of life afterwards, eternity. Bless you, dear.
Yeah, there's so much more behind all of that. That's just incredible. It's so much instead of the presence of God that was there this week. Things like when we were cleaning out her house, getting it ready to sell it for the real estate, and they wanted all her personal things taken out and things, and found her Bible that her parents had given her as a little girl. And so we took that, and Jeremy gave it to her, and I'd been asking the Lord, what should we say next? Like, this was just, I think this is Tuesday of this week, and what can we say? What should we give to her? And I just felt the Lord said to two things. One is to sing over her, and the other thing was to read the 23rd Psalm. And so as Jeremy gave her her Bible back, I just said, Jeremy, why don't you read the 23rd Psalm to her? The Lord is my shepherd. And as he started to read it, she just, it's like she was more alive and awake than she'd been in all week. You know, and she started to say the words and read it with him, say it with him. And in the middle of it, she got to the part, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, she started to cry. But then the next words are, but I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I could just see she was absorbing those words, and just something shifted. And, you know, once she gave her life to Jesus, there was a peace that was over her that she did not have up to that point. A huge difference. And Jeremy's sister, who was not really a believer, sort of borderline believer maybe, but really not walking with the Lord at all. But this week, I'll tell you, this was a week when it seemed like heaven was really touching earth and earth touching heaven like I've never really experienced before. It was just so close. And as we were reading the 23rd Psalm, it said, and going through that, something shifted in the air. And his mom at the end said, I remembered it. I remembered it. From when she was a little girl, she remembered it. And so surely Jeremy's sister would read it to her over the next couple of days again. And so that's become really precious to Shirley. So Shirley's kept that Bible, and that passage is marked. And it's like things are coming alive for Shirley now too. And another day we were reading, or we were singing over her. I mean, this is who we are. This is what we do. We sing, and we love the intimate worship where we just sing over people, and people receive from the Lord, and the Holy Spirit speaks to them. And this is something that Jeremy's mom has never heard us do. She's heard us lead worship one time, that was all. And Jeremy's sister has never heard it either. And I felt like this, we could be exactly who we were in a place of reality. This isn't religion. This isn't us trying to talk them into anything. This is reality of who we were, and we were doing this. And Shirley would just make a bolt to be right in there and receive too. And just, she was just soaking in and wanted to be there and just loved it. And one day I just said to her, you know, I felt the angels in this room as we were doing that. And she said, I felt it too. But yes, she's feeling the presence of God. Yay, for the first time ever. And just, you know, it was just she was the one who said, I feel like Mom has some unresolved issues yet. And I said, well, I think she's got some unresolved forgiveness issues with her parents. And she talked about some other things where that she knew her mom struggled with forgiving herself for and different things. And I was able to say, well, Shirley, I know you had a lot of things against your dad too. Did you ever forgive your dad? She said, well, you know, yeah, I've talked to Mom about that, and I realized I just need to lay that down. It's not worth it. not worth hanging on to that stuff. And so she said, can you talk to Mom about some of these things? And so Jeremy again was able to talk to his mom about, you know, forgiving parents and forgiving yourself and all those things. And then Shirley just said, I'm so glad you're here. She just knew, it's like, it said heaven was right there. Heaven was right there in that room. And Shirley was experiencing it as well as Jeremy's mom experiencing it. So we've been in church all week. That's real church, isn't it? Real church, when God is right there in the midst of whatever you're going through. So it was a glorious time. Yeah, it was hard, and yesterday was the hardest, you know, when she actually left. And Jeremy had to take her out the door on that gurney and put her in the back of that van and see her leave. You know, that's really hard. Say your goodbyes and know that you're not going to see her on this earth, and we're going to miss her so much. You know, that part's really hard, and we do go through hard things, and we grieve the loss. That's natural for us to grieve, and it's good for us to grieve. Whoa. But knowing that she's in such a glorious place and seeing God's hand and his presence through the whole thing is just incredible. And that's why, you know, we wanted to share that today, not just so you feel sorry for us. That's not why. As Jeremy said, don't feel sorry for us. We're rejoicing and just amazed at what God's doing in the midst of it. But we share because we know many of you are going through hard times too. And I'll tell you, that's when heaven becomes more real than ever. That's when you can sense the angels there with you. You can sense the love and compassion of the Lord that's just right there with you. That's when that's when I said to me, it was like that spiritual realm was, the veil between us was just disappearing, you know, and just merging, melding together. Whoa. Because it's when his presence comes again, it makes all the difference for us in any situation of our life, doesn't it? And to me too, I just wanted to encourage some of you that for some of you, you've been praying for loved ones, family members, friends for many, many years. I mean, we've been praying for her for how long have you been a Christian now, Jeremy? At least 40 years? All this time we've been praying for her. And, you know, it looked hopeless. She just was angry at God and angry at us if we talked about God. And it seemed impossible. But we went to South Africa about 10 years ago, which is where they're from. Jeremy was actually born in South Africa and came over when he was 4. And Jeremy's never known Christians in his family before. You know, his family just weren't Christians. But we'd heard, after he became a Christian, he found out it was about his grandparents in South Africa that were Pentecostal pastors. And we found out there were 10 kids in the family, but because of legalism, because of neglecting the children, because of church work and being at church every night of the week and letting the nannies raise the kids, those kids, 9 of them, turned away from God out of 10. Only one remained a Christian. And yet over the years, they've been coming back. We get these stories coming back from South Africa. You know, Uncle Keith accepted the Lord before he died. You know, this uncle and this, you know, we're all one by one accepting the Lord before they die. Jeremy's mother got angry at that. So angry. She said, how can they do that? You know, how can they expect, you know, that after living a whole life that with nothing to do with God, that they think now that God's just going to receive them? And Jeremy had a chance just a couple weeks ago to share the story of the vineyard with her. To say it's the story when the master of the vineyard paid a denarius for someone he hired at the beginning of the day. And then he hired someone else later in the day and someone else, right to the end where there's someone only worked the last hour of the day. And when it came time to pay, he paid everybody a denarius. And the guys at the beginning say, hey, that's not fair. So didn't I promise you a denarius? Didn't I give you what I earned? I mean, can't I, in my own mercy, decide to give more to others if I want to? And, you know, shared that with her that, yeah, it can be someone at the end of their life, they'll get that same reward, they'll get heaven. They've missed the reward on earth with him, I'll tell you. Whoa. There's so much they've missed, but they still get the reward of going to be with Jesus now. And that so surprised her. And I think that's what really opened her up to being able to receive him. But when we went back to South Africa 10 years ago, we found out that Jeremy's grandmother had received a prophetic word that all of her kids, all 10 of them, would come to know the Lord. They all returned to the Lord. She never lived to see it. But I'll tell you, it's been happening. She's only got one sister left now, and she's already a believer. And just the faithfulness of God. When we were over there, they had a bit of a family reunion for us. And so that side of the family came in. There were about 30 of them there. And as we started talking to the younger people, worship leaders, pastors, prophetic, I mean, just amazing. And I'm thinking at least 3/4 of them were all Christians. What had happened is that it jumped a generation to the grandchildren, and they were becoming Christians and leading their parents back to the Lord. And that's exactly what's happened here as well. Jeremy became a Christian first year of university, didn't even know about that Christian heritage he had. And now he's able to lead his mom back to the Lord. Wow. You know, God is so faithful. God listens to our prayers. Don't give up hope on those things you've been praying for and the people you've been praying for. God knows what they need. And he knows maybe it'll take them to the end of the rope, like it did with her. But he knows what it'll take. And he's ever pursuing them, ever loving them, ever calling them to himself. It's a faithful, faithful God. Wow, and I hope that just encourages you, for even when you don't see answers to prayer now. And I've seen this happen before. Someone, I think it was Vero, mentioned it when I shared today with her what was going on. And she said, wow, it's like all the prayers over all those years, in the last 2 weeks that she's now a believer, they're all dumped out on her. She's having these, you know, the supernatural experience. She had a vision that her mother, who's in heaven, came and took her hand, and then she left. And then the mom's saying, well, why did she leave me? Why did she go? And it's like, she just wanted you to know she's there and that she's going to be meeting you really soon. And she's having these supernatural experiences. And even Shirley, after her mom left, she said she saw this like a mist over her mom. She said, I know it's probably just, you know, the body heat leaving or something, but it's like a form that was over her. Said, you know, it could be her spirit. Well, why would her spirit still be hanging around? I don't know, but sometimes people in those, you know, those experiences where the near-death experiences, where their spotted body sort of lifts and they can look down and see everything that's going on in the room, and then the Lord tells them, no, it's not time yet, go back. And I go back into their body. You know, who knows? That could have been her spirit just in there just to see what's going on as she before she left. And, but the fact Shirley saw it, that she sensed the angels. You know, that, you know, just, it was an amazing, amazing encounter, as I said, where God really touched her to the earth this week. So, you can pray for us this week, again, that through the memorial, the celebration of her life that we're going to have on Thursday, that it'll touch more people as well, her friends and neighbors. And that God's the victor, isn't he? You know, and as Jeremy said, death couldn't take her. You know, she didn't have all the typical symptoms of lungs filling up or all the, you know, things that they said would happen. They said her kidneys would shut down. You know, her heart was strong, her kidneys were still working, and, you know, everything functioning, and she just left. It was time. The Lord took her spirit before death could really have its victory. Wow. And I really believe that the Lord is so faithful and does that for us. So I hope it's an encouraging word for you. You know, that this is, in the midst of life and death, there's so much of God's presence. And he does really reign. He reigns eternally and has his purposes that he accomplishes in it. Wow. So I just wanted to share that with you. As I said, where the rubber hits the road, and that's where we're at. And those are the things God's teaching us through it. And I'm sure as you share with one another too, with what's going on in your life, you'll be able to see the hand of God in the things that are happening, even the hard things. He turns anything, all the bad things, he's able to turn into something incredibly good. He's just so good at that. That's why he's called our Redeemer. He redeems any situation and any person. Okay, so we're going to move from that. And Actually, even before we do, why don't we just, if you have been going through a hard week, why don't you just stand up where you are so we can just pray for you? Can you do that? Yeah. Those that are around, can you just stand up and just go over to them and stretch out your hand? You might have to stretch your hand to two people at once in order to cover everybody. Yeah, if you don't have someone, you know, praying for you yet, just raise your hand so we know where to send someone. There, I think the people over here. Anybody who doesn't have someone? Yeah. There we go. There's a lady at the front row there as well. Okay, there you got you covered. So let's just lift up these people in prayer right now. Lord, whatever that situation is, I pray that you would be their strength right now, that you would be their hope right now, that you would pour in your comfort and your love right now. Whoa, Lord, that you would be everything that we need. We say that you're everything we need, but Lord, this is where the crunch comes. And this is where we say, God, I want to draw it from you. I want to draw from you everything I need right now. Just even drink that in. What is it you need from him? Just tell him, I need strength. I need encouragement. I need love. Well, I need acceptance. I need a healing. I need a financial miracle. I need an emotional miracle. Whatever it is, just reach up to heaven and receive from him the gifts from his hand at this time, the things he wants to pour out on you, and let him pour into you. Say, Lord, I choose to trust that you are everything I need, and I receive that from you right now. Whoa. Just receive it and let it go deep down. Lord, would you speak your words to them right now? Again, if you do have a prophetic word for a word of knowledge for someone, just give it to them. But otherwise, if you're getting prayer, just say, Lord, what would you have to say to me in the midst of this? Because it's what he says, what he does that makes the difference. What do you say, Lord? Show me your perspective on things, Lord. Show me what you're doing in the midst of this situation. Show me what your heart is in the middle of the situation. What's your heart, Lord, for the person I'm, for me, for the people involved? What is your heart, Lord? Is there something you want us to say to that other person or to do? Just give us your direction, Lord. Wow. And can you, in the midst of the hard things, when you can't see the answers with your natural eyes, can you say, Lord, I'm going to choose to trust you right now. You're the one I go to. I put my hope and my faith and trust in you. And Lord, as we do that, I pray that you would pour in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you said that we'd have hope, that we'd abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So in any place where we're feeling hopeless, Lord, pour in your hope. Not that we're trying harder to hope, but that we have hope and faith and trust in you, Lord. We just choose that, but would you pour in the real thing of hope deep into our heart by the power of your Spirit right now. We receive it from you. Receive it from you, Lord. Wow. Wow. you. You can be seated. I got a question for you. How many of you want to see signs and wonders and miracles? Yay! How many need an incredible miracle? Well, you know what you need? If you want to see signs and wonders and miracles, you know what you need, first of all. You need a problem. A problem that's so big that you can't do anything about it. Right? That you don't have the resources for it, you don't have the wisdom for it, can't even with your imagination think of any possible solution. Anybody got a problem like that? Well, then you're set up for a miracle. That's the first step. We choose then to put our hope and our faith and trust in God, just like we were doing just now, so that we can watch God come through in a marvelous way. Whoa. Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can possibly ask, that's your prayer life, or more than we can possibly imagine. We just can't imagine the answer. We can't come up with a solution. He is able to do far more than any of that. So we choose to trust Him today. Well, maybe next week you can share some of your stories of what breakthrough you had, or how you saw God in God's presence in the midst of it, or how He turned something bad into something good. Remember, share it with each other next week, okay? See what God's doing. I find it's good to keep track of it, you know, in a journal at home, you know, write down problems or things I prayed for. On the other side, have a line down the middle, and on the other side, as I get the prayer answers, start filling it in, and then you'll start being amazed. You know, we don't want to forget the things that God does for us. We want to thank Him for those things. So remember to put those things down and record them. Record the things that God does in your life. Okay, we're moving to the second part of it, which is really, I want to talk about really intimacy with God. Just a brief part of it. Another time I come back, I'll give a whole message on intimacy with God. But I just want to talk about it in terms of, we're talking about love today. Love compels. And so we're talking, you know, there's two aspects of it that we want to talk about today, right? We want to talk about relationships with people. Loving each other. Anyone we're in relationship with, can, if you're married, you can apply it to your marriage. Whether you just have a really close friend, you can apply it to your close friend. You can apply it as a body of Christ and loving each other in the body. And then I also want to talk about the other aspect of it is in terms of our love relationship with God, an intimate relationship with God. And so I want to talk about something called the love triangle. And I want you to picture with me this triangle, all right? Of love being like a three-sided triangle. Now some of you might want to take some notes to write this in, especially if the Lord prompts you with some things. There'll be a couple of exercises I'll give you to do this week, especially with the people you're in relationship with, so you might want to just jot some things down. But the love is like a triangle, so you might want to start by drawing a picture of a triangle. And on one side of the triangle is intimacy. These are all things that are important in a relationship with someone. Love relationship is intimacy is one side of that triangle. Passion is another side of that triangle. And then along the bottom is commitment, sort of the stabilizing factor along the bottom of it. In any relationship, whether it's a relationship with a person or a relationship with God, sometimes our triangles get a little lopsided, don't they? You know, and if you are married, you find that sometimes maybe the passion starts to wane a little bit, you know, and so it's a little bit of a lopsided triangle. Well, the good news is you can prop up that side again to make a perfect triangle again. Same within our relationship with God. Maybe one of those other sides are, you know, coming down, or maybe the commitment side, we just haven't really had a strong commitment, and we need to build that base again. But the good news is, again, we can do something about it to build that triangle strong and have a wonderful, close relationship, both with the people that we're with as well as with God. So I'm going to talk about those three aspects of it. I'll talk first of all about the passion side of it. Passion is that motivational side of it. How many want to be passionate for God? I want to be passionate for God, yeah. Now, passion is something, if you're just expecting it to be an emotion, that, you know, sometimes we feel, well, I can't do that. You know, I'm just faking it if I pretend I've got passion or try to act like I've got passion. I do know part of it is something that God puts in our heart, doesn't he? He puts passion in our heart. But there is something that we can do, and I'll talk about that in a minute, to really strengthen passion in our relationship with each other and with him. And so it's the motivational part of us that moves us into a deeper relationship. It's characterized by an intense desire for affection and an extreme preoccupation. We're just madly in love with God, just this extreme preoccupation with him. Isn't that how you started when you first became a Christian? Yeah, usually it is, right? We start out with lots of passion. And a new Christian, I love to hang around new Christians because of that new passion, newfound love and joy that they found. And what can we do, though, to cultivate passion if we're finding that's sort of one weak side of our triangle of love? Something we can do is meaningful touch. You know, hugs and, you know, just meaningful touch. Even with God, it's like touching him with our worship, touching him and reaching out to him with our love and having him touch us. Again, with Jeremy's mom this last couple weeks, as God touched through to her and revealed himself to her through that bright light in her room that night, you know, that he touched through to her and then she touched through to him. So there's meaningful touch that will draw you into deeper relationship. If you need to cultivate more passion, it's doing mentally enjoyable things together. You know, finding, you know, sports that you both enjoy and you can both be involved in, or something you have a passion for. For Jeremy and I, it's music. That's our passion. And so when we do it together, you know, it's so meaningful to us because we're passionate together about that, and it increases passion that we have for each other because of it. Now, sometimes, though, you might think, oh, we don't even have common interests. Sometimes, you know, with that person, it's like they like different things than I do, and you sort of go your separate ways. But you can cultivate more of that passion by expressing interest in that other person's passion. Finding out what is it they're passionate about and getting involved in it. Maybe even just to watch, to be, you know, a spectator, but to go and to see what they're doing and support them in it and encourage them in it and try to understand it. But to have that, to be able to be passionate along with them, to understand that heart that they have and vice versa. And that can increase passion for each other as well. Another way to cultivate passion is through complimenting, like complimenting your partner, your friend, complimenting each other. We need to bless each other in the body of Christ. Give them compliments, you know, say, I just love your sweet, gentle spirit. I just love the way you worship. You know, compliment each other. Find things you can encourage each other with, because that will draw you into much deeper relationship with each other. What about with God, our passion with God? Well, again, when you say, God, you know, you're so amazing. Think of the ways that he's touched you, he's blessed you, and all those good things. It just stirs up passion in you again, doesn't it? When you realize the things that God has done for you in your life. And we need to know that we're special, we're appreciated, and you can, as you express that to each other, again, it increases passion. Okay, what about intimacy? Intimacy is really being known and knowing. Deeply knowing. I'll tell you, with Jeremy's sister, she was saying this week, she says, wow, I know you guys more than I thought was ever possible for me to know you guys. She really saw us for who we were this week, as she saw that whole side of us that's the most important part of us, our spiritual side. You know what we did as we worshiped, and you know, she really got to know us, and we got to know her as we stayed in her home. We were living in her home since Tuesday, and with the girls as well, and just getting to know them in a deep level, and something that's important. I mean, this is so important, and a deep, deep intimate things, and the deep talks we had. It was just, there's an intimacy that grows as you're known and you become known, and that will grow. So again, you can cultivate that intimacy with each other and with God by sharing dreams, sharing your interests, sharing your fears, sharing your hopes. You know, it's that quality time together. You know, we talk about soaking. Some of you might not have heard that word yet, but others have. But soaking in God's presence, where we just play those intimate songs and we just lay down in God's presence and meet with Him and have Him speak to us, and He ministers to us and pours His love into us, and we love Him. Quality time with God, chunks of time that we spend just for Him alone, not because we're asking for things, but just because we want to be with Him, where we just long just to spend time. Just like when you're in love with a person and you can sit across the table and gaze into each other's eyes and you don't even have to say anything. Just all this love is just oozing back and forth, you know? Messages of love. And same with God. Like, He wants us to look into His eyes like that. He wants us to get real close. Not keep Him at a distance like He's way up in the sky somewhere, but He's right in front of you. That's where He is. And He's living inside you. How much closer can He get than that? Yeah. And but just looking into His eyes up close, gazing into His eyes. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says the eyes of the Lord range throughout the land, looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to Him in order to pour strength into them. His eyes are looking. Well, why are they looking? Doesn't He know where you are? He knows you're sitting there, doesn't He? Why is He looking for you? I think He's looking for you and waiting for you to be looking back. And He says, ah, there you are. I was looking for you. Something about the eyes of God. To look into His eyes, even if you can't really see it. But you know what else that verse tells me? Is He's already looking for you. So as soon as you turn your eyes to Him, He's already looking back at you. Whoa. What happens when you look at someone in the eyes? There's a connection that happens, right? Different than looking at a foot, right? Oh yeah, way different. You know, there's this connection that takes place. And it's not what you're not looking to see, well, do they have blue eyes or brown eyes? Or, you know, that's not what you're looking for usually, right? You're looking to think, I wonder what they're thinking. I wonder what they're feeling. I wonder how they feel about me. You know, it's getting to know God, like looking in His eyes and saying, God, what are you feeling? What are you thinking? How do you feel about me? Connecting with Him heart to heart, spirit to spirit. In 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he who unites himself to the Lord is one with Him in spirit. There's a spirit-to-spirit connection. We're one with Him. How much more intimate can we get than that? He longs for intimacy with us, longs to be known by us and for us to know Him in an intimate way. And He wants us to share those things with Him, spending quality time, sharing heart-to-heart times. Cultivating intimacy with someone, it's like giving them a third ear, right? Where you're not just listening to the words that they're talking about, the story or anything, but you're listening to their feelings. You know, when you're dealing with an issue between you, don't just listen to the what's right and what's wrong and what's just and what's not and just the story of it and explain. Listen to the heart. What are they saying? What are they feeling inside? Try to empathize with how they're feeling through it all. And I'll tell you, you relate at a whole different level when you do that. Listening with that third ear. You can practice unconditional acceptance. That cultivates intimacy. Yeah, maybe there's something we don't like about the person, something they do. Sometimes we've thought, well, I'll love that person just if they change. I can see the potential for what they can change. And once they change, then I can really love and accept them. No, it means loving and accept them just for the way they are. Yeah, we want to see them change, but we leave that in God's hands. We don't try to be their Savior. We let the Savior do that. But we just allow God to do that. Just love them for who they are. Understand, why are they like that? What's caused them to be like that? What's the hurt that's in their life that's caused them to do that? You know, we just... That just happened today with our son, Sean, who's here drumming. He just went to the coffee shop, and someone asked him for directions, and he said, sorry, I'm not from around here. I don't know. And the person swore at him, and he walked away, kind of wounded. And then we talked about it, and I said, well, I wonder what that person was going through. Maybe their grandmother died too, just like yours did yesterday. You know, you don't know what's going on in that person's heart. You don't know why they did that. Well, maybe they just thought you were being unkind and wouldn't tell them. Maybe that's why. Oh, yeah, that's right. So when you think about the other person, what they might be thinking or feeling, and there's probably a good reason that they're like that. A hurt, a deep wound in their heart that's made them angry, made them angry people to be with. You know, but if we have love and compassion for that person, then it brings us closer to them. Rather than condemning or judging them, now we're starting to understand and help to pour out the love on them that God would have for them as well, because He loves them so much. Well, what about commitment? That's the willful side. You know, and again, maybe that's waning. Maybe your relationship with the Lord, you haven't been really committed to Him lately. In fact, sometimes I find we want God to love us unconditionally, but sometimes we tell God we're only going to love Him on condition. Don't we? You know, yeah, if God will only do this for me, then I'll love Him, then I'll follow Him, then I'll serve Him, but He didn't do that. You know? And so we put those limitations on Him. But to love someone unconditionally means I don't always understand it. It means I don't always understand why God does the things that He does. But God, I'm going to choose to trust You anyway. I'm going to choose to love You and give You my heart anyway. You know, He really longs for that from us, that we'll trust Him. Recognizing, you know, like we're just like a little two-year-old in His presence. We don't understand. We don't get it. He's so much smarter than we are. And He knows we can't always understand because He can't explain it at our level sometimes. But just to trust Him like a little child. To cultivate commitment, it means to have a high value, to place a high value on that commitment. Say, no matter what, no matter what I see with my eyes, natural eyes, I'm going to choose to trust anyway. And it's looking towards a future that's not seen yet and counting on those promises to be there. It's that commitment, if we have that commitment, it creates an island of certainty for us in the midst of turmoil around us. The kind of peace that God will give you when turmoil is going on around you, I'll tell you, is that like a rock under your feet that's immovable. And if we have commitment to each other in the turmoil, times when you know things are going on around you, times when you're not getting along with other areas and you're just things in turmoil, if you know that you've got a solid commitment and say, I'm committed to this relationship no matter what, it will give you that island of certainty. It will also give you the determination and the motivation to make things work, to reconcile, to be able to come back into agreement. Said, and then if you have that, you've got that commitment there so that it stands firm when you're lacking the passion, when you haven't had times of intimate connection heart to heart, when that hasn't been happening, that commitment will help to hold you there until you can build up that intimacy, build up that passion again, until you can, your love will be more complete again. That commitment will help us to meet our partner's needs, to look beyond what we see again with the natural, say, what is it they need right now? And reach out and meet that need. We all like to have it, like when people come and meet our needs, don't we? I mean, isn't it special to you when someone just seems to know, you know what, I just, since you need this right now, and I just give it to you. It's so special. I had someone give me a Valentine's today that was so special. The gentleman back here gave us cookies that he'd made for us. It's like, oh, that's so sweet, so special. You know, when that happens, it touches you, doesn't it? When someone meets your need. And when you reach out and touch someone else's need too, and you look for what they need, and you just do it, or you just give it to them, whatever it is, it just touches them at a deep level. They know that that's something special you've done for them. So maybe even to, you know, this week, just doing something special. Maybe think, I haven't told someone I love them recently, or, you know, I haven't just give them a call just to see how they're doing, or just touch them in some special way that will meet their need. So I'm just hoping that over this next little while we can all just, as I said, look for those kinds of things that we can build the strength of our love relationship for. And reaching out to each other. I love it when a church gets to be such an encouraging church, you know, when they're sending little notes to each other. We had one church one time that we were at where every Sunday, everyone got a little piece of paper and you put someone's name on the top of it. And then you write something really encouraging for that person. And then you put it all in the offering basket. And then that week in the mail, they were sent, the church sent them out to those people, and they got these little words of encouragement from people. Sometimes they knew the person's name, sometimes they signed it, sometimes they didn't. But to get that encouraging word, I thought, wow, that is so precious. That they made a point, an effort, they took time out of the meeting. You know, 2 minutes out of the meeting, everyone wrote their little encouraging words. But just to say, this is a priority to us, that we reach out to each other in love like that. So I'm just going to end it with that as far as just, you know, maybe have some quality time with someone that you love, you care about, your good friend, your mom and dad, your kids, your, you know, with each other in church and with God. Maybe give them a bit of extra quality time. I know before Christmas all the time in the month of December, I used to think, what can I give to Jesus for his birthday? He's got everything. Yeah, I can give him my heart, give him my life. And I felt the thing he wanted from me the most was quality time. And so I really try to make an effort. It doesn't always happen, but I try to make an effort just before Christmas. Because it's so busy then. But to set aside time and give him quality time and say, this is my gift to you this Christmas. Maybe that can be your gift to him this Valentine's. To give him some extra quality time. And give him that love. Tell him some things. Maybe you haven't told him just recently how much you love him. Tell him thanks for all the things he's done. Yeah. So Lord, we just even want to say that now. Again, we just give you our heart, our love, our commitment again. Maybe some of you just want to reaffirm a commitment. You say, Lord, I just reaffirm to you that even when I don't understand what's going on, I don't always understand your ways, I am committed to this relationship. I am committing my whole heart, my whole life to you. Wow, for some of you, maybe it's a recommitment. Saying I'm strengthening that commitment that I've had with him. Or maybe you've never even committed your life to the Lord. If you haven't, say, Lord, I'm going to commit my life to you now. Commit to relationship with you. I want to strengthen that this week, Lord. Or that passion. Say, Lord, I just haven't been very passionate. I've been so lukewarm lately. And just think of some of those things that might increase that passion. But I want to be preoccupied with you and how lovely you are and how amazing you are, how glorious you are. I want to reflect on the things you've done for me so that I can love you with passion, with intensity, with purpose. Matthew 22:37, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. I think that's intimacy. Your heart, your spirit-to-spirit connection with him. With all your heart, with all your soul. Give him your emotions and your expression of emotions. And don't be afraid, don't hold it back, but just be expressive. Sometimes that's in our worship, just choosing to just give it to him with everything you've got. Maybe it means you know, instead of holding back and being really reserved, you might be dancing before him. Well, for me, I couldn't dance in my church as we grew up. So sometimes it's a little awkward for me to move, but for me it was at home in my living room, I'm putting on some worship and just expressing myself in dance to him. It brought such freedom to my heart. Sometimes you have to dance your way to freedom. It's a choosing to express. Whether it's choosing to raise your hands and express it out to him in some way. But choosing to express that with all your soul. Then with all your mind. As you say, I choose by an act of my will to commit myself to you. I choose by an act of my will to give you everything I have, everything I own, every desire I have, every longing. I choose to fix my eyes on you, and I choose to just totally get preoccupied with you. I choose to do that, Lord. Do as Jeremy's playing. We're just gonna, if you just want to stay and just stay in his presence, give him a bit of quality time right now. If you're not in a rush to go somewhere, we're just gonna sing a couple of songs and just connect with him heart to heart, eye to eye. Give him your love, give him your time, see what he has to say for you. Sometimes when you're connecting, you don't even have to say anything. Just be. If you don't hear anything from him today, that's okay. Just be with him, just like Mary sitting at his feet, having that quality time with him. And I just encourage you again to soak and have quality time with him this week too. And you can go anytime you want. If you need more specific prayer, you can come forward. And when you do, ask the ministry team, I just want to come and pray with you and talk to you about anything you need some prayer for. But just take that pause in life right now. You can pause in life during the day, all week long, and just say, I want to spend some time with you, Lord. Just go whenever you need to go. Thirsting that just won't go away.
tell you I adore you. No one can take your place. I just want to worship you. Oh, there's an aching in my spirit to know you more each day. A hunger and a thirsting that just won't go away. I just want to love you more. Lord, I'm hungering and I'm thirsting to look into your eyes. No other love can fill me. No one can satisfy.
Devote himself to be close to me, declares the Lord. For I will bring him near, and he will come close to me. For I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness.
So we just want to encourage you. Want to get together with one or two other people right now, just stay maybe one more minute and just bless each other into that place of intimacy and passion and commitment, especially to the Lord. Encourage one another. And we bless you to go as soon as you're ready.
To be lost in your heart. drawn into your heart. Yes, draw me, Lord, deep into your heart. Draw me, Lord, deep into your heart. Always be drawn into your heart.
Okay, thank you very much, Midtown. And continuing that in that feeling of rest and in the Lord, and discuss it with Sel, discuss it with people this week. Thank you very much, Jeremy and Connie. And God bless you. Happy Valentine's, everybody.